Welcome back to another Cross Conference Cast, the podcast that women's soccer truly deserves. On this episode, we discuss everything. Atlantica in Chicago and on break, FC Gold Marta in Philly, a history of violence with the Washington Freedom, an all-star list, and we even throw some U20s talk in, and I complain about the new Portland Timbers logo. Let's get it started. Hey, this is Joan.
And this is Ruth.
And we're back. It is June 14th. When did we record last? It was in May, right?
No, it was right after St. Louis folded. Was that in May?
I think so.
Oh.
I don't know. Anyway. What?
I was just going to say, it doesn't matter.
It doesn't.
It's too early in the morning for it to matter.
I know. It's morning. I wish to mention that it's the morning of June 14th.
It's our first morning podcast.
It is. I think it's going to show. Because I don't have beer.
Yeah, we don't want anyone to think that you're an
alcoholic. I'm not an alcoholic. I don't even drink that much. I have maybe one beer every 2 days. So we have a lot to talk about. We are officially one third of the way through the season, maybe a little bit more. And there's some interesting games happened this past weekend. Atlanta had a bye week, but I think that's good for them because then they can focus on becoming the Athletica again. Because I think after we spoke last, almost all the players migrated south for the summer. Seems like a dumb idea, but
at least they don't have tornadoes now.
Yeah, no tornadoes. Stifling humidity, but no, I'm sure it's fine down there. Who's down there now? There's Aluko, Lori Kolapny, Hope Solo.
They just got Aya Miyama.
Miyama, Ellertson, and then, of course, all the players they had before, like Angie Kerr and Kia McNeil.
They did let go of the Irish player, Sonali. Sonali? I don't remember how they pronounce it.
That's right. And they had to let go. And, like, letting go of players to bring in the players that they did not seem like such a huge sacrifice.
Well, and they brought in Carolyn Blank.
That's true.
That's random, but
it is. Who got Trotter? Sky Blue FC got India Trotter again, right? She came right back. Wasn't she, quote-unquote, there for a little bit? Or
oh, right. That's so random.
With that trade that was incredibly confusing and then totally did not matter in the end. So we could talk a little bit about the players who were not picked up. Kendall Fletcher was a last-minute holdout before Sky Blue FC picked her up as a developmental player, where she is, developmentally reunited with Heather O'Reilly and Casey White, her UNC and Wildcats teammates, New Jersey Wildcats. So that's pretty much like exactly where they were and exactly
5 years ago
and who they were. Like, all they need is Rachel Yankee and Kat Whitehill, and I think they can replicate the success they had. Though that was an entirely different league, an entirely different time.
They were playing at a pretty similar level. I mean, Charlie Nimo was in charge.
Yeah, they were head and shoulders above every other team,
except Vancouver.
Well,
Vancouver was decent. You know,
they were okay. Yeah, and there was the Ottawa Wah-Wah Fury, right?
Yeah, but they weren't as good as Vancouver. I remember watching those games thinking, you know, Vancouver put on a much better show against New Jersey than Ottawa did. And who else was there? Florida Crush. and they were lame. That's all I have for them.
Okay. Well, speaking of strange pickups, I think in the last podcast I mentioned how I thought Chicago should pick up Aluko, or I wanted them to, or maybe Tarpley, but of course they did neither. They picked up Asante and let go of Brittany Klein. My jaw tightens at the thought of it. She was hardly used this season, and I don't know, maybe there's a reason for that, but I didn't see it. We weren't given a reason that, you know, maybe her form just dropped off this year, but she was a fan favorite. She was an all-star last year, and was a really, really bright spot in an awful season last year. I don't know about that. That was confusing.
That was awful.
You want to talk about Boston?
Okay. Boston picked up Tarpley. And yeah, I mean, I don't know what you can say about that. She's back together with her national team teammates. Now I'm blanking on Lopez's last name.
Cox.
Stephanie Cox.
It was more about Osborne because they're BFFs.
Yeah, they finally get to play on a real team together, since they didn't manage to do that in college. Such a shame.
But it made for an interesting story.
It did. It did. And I'm kind of surprised that I haven't read anything about that yet, since Boston picked up Tarpley. But maybe that's because Osborne is injured or sick or whatever, has an infection in her leg. So I don't know if that counts as an injury or being sick. Oops.
She really does have an infection in her leg?
Yeah, she was in the hospital or something to get it fixed. And
Grody. Sorry.
Yeah.
I see her as a very clean person.
Yeah, I'm only half paying attention to Boston, but that's more than I'm paying attention to Skype.
Well, you and everyone else only half paying attention to Boston because they're awful. They're not doing so great. For a team that looked like pretty strong, they got the number one draft pick again, who looked great coming out of the gate, but now has kind of stalled.
Wow, they are second to last in the standings. I thought they were higher than that. They're doing worse than the Red Stars.
I know.
FYI.
Well, the Red Stars have been going great with these ties.
They're like the U.S.
Yeah. Do we want to get on? I guess we could talk about the teams we're interested in, or we could talk about, I mean, because Boston played Sky Blue FC yesterday, and Sky Blue FC has its own struggles, but they were able to get it together for a 2-1 win.
That's impressive.
Which I think a couple people paid attention to, because it wasn't televised, and I think there was some talk on Twitter, but wasn't that the last matchup? No, that was the matchup last time we talked. It was Boston.
Yeah.
Sky Blue FC. And we didn't have anything to say about that. And I don't really have too much to say about it now.
Although Jordan Angeli scored.
Jordan Angeli scored. That's great. Her ligaments are doing well.
All of her other joints and muscles must be doing well.
Enough to score.
Yeah.
And Christy Rampone, I think, was our substitute in the second half. So she's back from being pregnant. So that's good. I guess the Saturday game, Chicago at DC, was webcasted. I don't know if it was televised on
local. I think DC it was. Television. It was a CSN game.
Yeah, it must have been. And that was nice. The camera work was a little nausea inducing, but at the beginning.
The feed wasn't like great quality, but it was nice to see the game, even though there was half the time there was an advertisement over a big chunk of the bottom of the screen.
Yeah. And that at the beginning of the game, I was just going to be like, oh, I give up. Washington is going to score 5 goals, and I'm just going to start crying if I can. No, because they can't make me cry yet, actually. That's an exaggeration, because they just make me angry right now. Or not now, but things like that just make me angry. But, no, I was just going to be like, I can't stand this anymore. And so I...
Well, hold on. Before you get into the game, you have to give the background on it.
Oh, that's true.
Because the U.S.-England game was played earlier in the day, the Men's World Cup game. And if you're listening to this podcast and don't know how that turned out, I don't know what to tell you. it was ridiculous. Like, the U.S. looked awful, and England, I don't know, to me they looked awful. And the whole thing was a comedy of errors that ended in a 1-1 draw, which was good for the U.S. and horrible for England, especially since the only reason the U.S. scored is because they had a keeper error, big keeper error. But so that was a good point for the U.S. But a bad point heading into this game for Chicago was the news that Kelsey Davis tore her ACL, and the whole world cried.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I can't even think of the appropriate sad music to play for this.
This is even worse than when she shattered her jaw.
This is so much worse, because, like, I don't know. In some ways, that's whimsical, because she can keep playing. She just has to have it wired shut.
Although, we're still very sorry that that happened.
Yeah, no, we're not laughing about that. That's horrible. But, you know, she made it through and then had a really great season in Portland, I think. But this is awful. Nobody wants to see Kelsey Davis tear any ligament, especially not the ACL. It's awful, and we give Kelsey Davis our support. And I thought it was really important, personally, that the Red Stars play that game for Kelsey. I don't know that they did. But
you could tell that Natalie Spilger was.
Natalie Spilger apparently getting a red card off camera for pulling down Wambach, punching her. I don't think Natalie Spilger doesn't seem like the type who would punch someone like Abby Wambach, because
I think she pulled some ninja moves and
did some judo and was like threw her over her hip. I think that's maybe what it was. She was just demonstrating some of the judo moves that she has learned since she's been taking judo class that I just made up. In her world travels. In her desire to learn about other cultures, she, you know, learned some judo.
Some Jedi moves.
She threw
Abby with her mind.
Anyway, apparently Abby Wambach fell down, and Natalie Spilger got a red card.
Although I think it was her second yellow or something.
Yeah. She had gotten a yellow earlier, but I don't know if that was. Maybe it was just so egregious that they were like, "Oh, red." So what does red and yellow make orange? Yeah, and we heard from someone who was there that Natalie Spilger was at the end of some like very personal attacks from someone in the field seats, like her in particular. She was getting assailed and heckled, which I don't really understand. What would you have to say again? I mean, it's not like she doesn't necessarily have a reputation for anything, does she? I don't like.
Green laces.
Maybe someone doesn't like the environment. like, screw you and the earth. That sort of thing. But I don't know. It seems like, I don't know, almost comical to sort of pick on. So maybe it was just a jerk, and maybe he got jumped in the parking lot after the game.
The $10 parking lot.
Goodness gracious.
Although our friend at the DC game says that's new this year, and they're also charging the season ticket holders, I think, $5 for parking, and
what?
she was pretty pissed.
That seems like a recipe for disaster.
As if they weren't already expensive enough.
Yeah. But okay, so Chicago, we can focus on. They hadn't gotten their coach when we last restocked. He's in Chicago now. Omid is. I don't know how to pronounce his, either one of his names. I'm sure is going to be slaughtered by me.
Oh yeah, I have no idea. So there's a
Omid
dude in Chicago now.
Namazi. Yeah, Omid Namazi. We're just gonna go with that. Oh, I bet it's something else. I bet it's like Lee Smith. It's how you pronounce it.
Coach Smith.
Yeah, and I can't say the team looks like it puts forth, a greater effort now. And in the second half, the highlights that I got to see were just they looked great. I mean, they were like Washington should be very thankful for Erin McLeod because though she let two in, she could have let a lot more in. And Casey Nogueira stepped up for this game against Washington, which was nice to see because we know she can. It's like it's not like anybody doubts that she can. It's more like everybody doubts when it will happen. And so that, I mean, Chicago, they'll be one to watch. I mean, this is good. They haven't lost for three games, so that's good. But
I don't think the game against Atlanta hadn't happened yet in our last podcast.
No, it hadn't. And that was a nil-nil tie, which was awful and untelevised, which was it was like that, that was the worst example of women's soccer that you could have shown on television. That was like a rec league game.
Although
And
the best part of it was the injury, which I think happened in like the t first 10 or 15 minutes.
oh God, that cringe-inducing crack of the heads between Miama and Spilger.
Yeah.
Oh, you could
There was
hear
like,
that on the broadcast. It was like,
and then there was blood everywhere, and it was awesome. It was like, what, six and seven
awesome.
stitches for each of them.
Someone could have died. That's not awesome.
Considering no one died, it was awesome.
Considering no one died.
And then they replayed it like two or three times throughout the game.
I have to say, Spilger did look kind of badass, like with the blood coming down. She looked very, I don't know, like some action hero.
She's just,
She
getting
probably
ready for the
also had a
judo.
concussion. That's probably why she looked so badass.
And then she blogged about it, and it was awesome.
It was great. Ugh. But we can talk about the Atlanta
Athletica.
Athletica now. Hope Solo was great against Chicago, and then they had a bye week this week, so they can focus on that. So there's not much to say. They didn't look that different, which just makes you think that maybe it really is Gareth O'Sullivan, that he's the problem with Atlanta. Not personnel necessarily.
Although the fact that they had all just come in and still managed to look as good as a team that had been together all along kind of makes you wonder if they might be able to improve.
That's true. That's true.
It's
I mean
like
that.
with Hope Solo in the net, they really can't stay at the bottom for long. Eventually, Boston's gonna drop.
Yeah.
I mean, I would think they would at
Yeah.
least be able to start pulling out the ties that Chicago's been getting.
That's true. I guess I understand what you're saying now. Yeah, they don't they're not necessarily going to make it top three or anything, but
Yeah, I mean,
they're definitely
it
not
doesn't
going
mean anything that they've got
to. They're
six
going
or
to
seven
leapfrog
all-stars.
Boston.
It'll be interesting to see I mean, because it was said in chat. It was said in the WTPS chat earlier this week, or last week. Oh, it's Monday, isn't it? Wow. Last week it was said that Atlanta seems to have at least unofficially accepted the Atlantica label the fans have given them, fans and the media, really. And so I'm wondering how much that's going to change the marketing of the team, like if they'll officially accept the sort of rebranding, maybe take on that logo, which was super awesome.
No, they have a lot sort of invested in the beat, I think. I think that's more of a curiosity than a, or at least I hope so, because that just seems.
I mean, I would like them to get rid of the name, the Athletica, because that was just really lame. St. Louis wasn't even going to have a name at first, and that was pretty cool of St. Louis. And then they went and decided they were making up a word, and then gave an explanation of that word that they made up, and it was like, no, guys, it's so embarrassing, and it was.
Yeah. So there'll be something to watch. Do you want to do the other teams before we do All-Stars?
Okay. We can do that.
You want to talk about the FC Gold Pride game? What we'll talk about now is but moving on. Philadelphia Independence hosted
FC Gold Pride.
Good God.
You know, one of these years you're going to catch on to that.
I am. They need a new name. FC Gold Pride and lost 3-1.
Although I think the scoreline's misleading.
That it's misleading. You have to interpret it as not that Philadelphia is bad, but FC Gold Pride is that good.
Okay, I like that interpretation.
Yeah, like it depends on you have to look at it that way, not like, oh, they got steamrolled or whatever. I think they came out with the wrong tactics, Philadelphia. Leaving Amy Rodriguez up there by herself is not a good idea. She needs someone to partner with. Either she can take the heat off that person or they can sort of be there to support her, because she is, I like, this is my thing. She is the Emile Heskey of women's soccer. She is the non-scoring forward in a way.
And Bueller, sort of, Bueller had her pretty neatly marked.
Yeah. Yeah. When you're going to leave Amy Rodriguez up there alone and then FC Gold Pride has the defense that it does, it's like you're just asking to not really score that much. Christine Sinclair had a cool goal. It came from a Lori Lindsay mistake, unfortunately. She pretty much just passed it to Marta. Marta made the most of that, and Sinclair she didn't have any trouble putting that one away.
And then she had a great goal celebration.
Yeah, she had that awesome goal celebration, the knockout thing. I think she's having fun. It's great, like, finally winning, finally being on a winning team consistently since leaving college. And it's good. Like, I'm a big Christine Sinclair fan, and so it's like it warms my heart to see that she's having fun. And is not miserable all the time, which is what she seemed to be last year.
It's nice to see most of FC Gold Pride not miserable this year, because like every time we saw them, or every time I saw them, they were miserable. Poor Barnhart.
Yeah, Barnhart's face is always in this kind of like.
She looked like the saddest golden retriever ever. It's just heartbreaking.
She did look quite sad. Tiffany Milburn made that great save off the line, that header save.
It was amazing, because I was sitting down at that end for that part of the game.
Talk about it.
Okay. I don't know that I really have much to say about it other than it was amazing, and there was a lot of reaction from the crowd. They wanted the ref to say that she was inside the goal when she kicked it out. It was good, and she like seriously, that saved our ass. let's see, FC Gold Pride. It was interesting. Like, I was worried that because they were showing up without two starters, they were showing up without Kelly O'Hara and Allie Riley, who Allie Riley especially is an important part of our defense. And then FC Gold probably didn't start Carrie Du. Did they give a reason for that in the broadcast?
I don't think so. I wasn't paying attention to what things were being said, to be honest. I'm not sure that anyone can blame me.
Yeah, I totally don't. But that was really baffling. So I was still pretty worried when the match started. But the defense, FC Gold Pride's defense was decent. I think Chapman had a good game in the back, or at least better than her usual, because I usually find lots of reasons to criticize her defensively, but she looked decent. And there was Becky Edwards, I thought played a pretty good game. Like she normally plays pretty aggressively, pretty solid in whatever position they put her. But she seemed to be stepping it up for the home crowd, because we were not that far away from her home team, hometown. And like there was a point where Marta was going for the ball, and Becky Edwards just got right in there, got it away from the Philadelphia player and kept going with it. And I was like, dude, Becky, that's Marta. Like she was overenthusiastic maybe, but she managed to get through the game without getting carded. So that was good. And Barnhart seemed oblivious to the fact that she was playing in Pennsylvania, which is also her home state. And Marta had a good game, which...
Yeah, she did okay.
She did decently. I was impressed. Haven't seen a game like that out of Marta. She made some great runs.
She's great. Every week she's gonna, you get what you pay for with Marta. I mean, she's no Beckham. She's not gonna like, get hurt and roll around a little bit while his wife goes shopping, but
Right. And when she makes her bitch face, it's when she's on the field, not when she's sitting on the bench in a suit.
Yeah. So those are the games.
Wait. In Philly, I have to go on and on about Tina DiMartino first.
Oh yeah, that's right, Tina DiMartino. Go ahead.
She had an amazing game. And like when I saw her play with St. Louis, she wasn't playing the way she did with FC Gold Pride. When she played with FC Gold Pride, she was all over the place, like a little Tasmanian devil. And she'd take on players that were three times her size, which is pretty much everyone in the league. And but she wasn't doing that in St. Louis. And this is her first game with Philadelphia. She's taking on everyone. I think at some point she went up against Sinclair and someone else, and she battled through the whole thing, scored Philadelphia's only goal, which happened so fast that I had to text you to ask if it was an own goal, because she was marked. She was definitely marked, and there was a scramble in front of the goal, but it went right in. And there was a point where she was one-on-one with Marta, and she had the ball, and I don't know if you saw this in the broadcast, but she totally outplayed Marta for a second. It was amazing.
I think I remember seeing that. I remember seeing a part that of the game. She was in the stand corner. Up. I was like, oh my goodness, Tina DiMartino just did something really great.
Philadelphia didn't win that game, but Tina DiMartino was the player of the match. Like, Lori Lindsay wasn't having her best game. FC Gold Pride outplayed Philadelphia, even with a different lineup from their usual. But Tina DiMartino was amazing. It was great to see her play like that again. And now I'm done with Philly. Don't you know I'm smart enough to figure you out? You said, come on, we need to talk. Let's go for a ride. But you don't have to say a thing. I can read your mind. Make a sound. It didn't make a sound.
I guess we could talk about the thing that was in the broadcast was the mention of the All-Star game and how the captains have sort of been chosen, Marta and Abby Wambach. We knew that from the beginning. And then the selections made it very clear that this is more of a popularity contest than, you know, something based on performance or skill.
Especially since Natasha Kai was a significant vote getter. She didn't make the release that they did. But I remember whatever the midway point was, it was like Tasha Kai was one of the top vote getters, and she's been injured half of this season so far.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we're not even into half of the season. So it's like, I think that was a mistake to have that All-Star voting, like, before a third of the season was even done. I mean, and I don't just say that because Chicago was awful, because none of them had put in an All-Star performance, really. Maybe Loydon, but still, when you're losing, your goalkeeper's not really going to get...
I think Brittany Klein put in an All-Star performance this year.
She
as
did
Chicago
just about,
players go.
Yeah, she did just about as well as anybody else.
Although, I mean, if voting had gone on a little longer, I think Natalie Spilger could have gotten a significant vote.
Natalie Spilger. yeah, I mean, I don't know. Lauren Cheney was there, and she hasn't scored since the first game. I thought at first she was doing great. Like, she was really, but, you know, clearly I was mistaken about that.
She's a top draft pick in Boston. You can't expect anything of her.
Yeah.
Ramona Bachman was on here.
Yeah, Ramona Bachman. I don't know.
She doesn't even have the benefit of WPS fans having seen her in our league last year. I mean, that's clearly just Atlanta marketing right there.
If Tobin Heath weren't injured, you'd imagine that she'd be on there.
I'm surprised she isn't.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's hard for me to criticize that some of the players, you know, who haven't, you know, performed or whatever, being on there when last year was like Rapinoe made the All-Star team. I didn't necessarily think she... so, like, she's my favorite player, but, I mean, last season wasn't, you know... She always put on a good show, but it wasn't necessarily like game winning or all star. But then you realize
her hair
that
was
she
better
was,
last season.
She was she filled in because of the Euros.
Oh yeah,
and it's like none of the people on this all star, whatever list have that excuse. You know, it's not like these other players have somewhere else to be. So I don't know. That was...
I think the only position that really got it right was the goalkeepers. But when you have two spots to fill, it's kind of hard to get that wrong.
Yeah. But it's a joke. I mean, the rules of it itself sort of just kind of indicate that. It's not something to be taken seriously, I guess. So it's like you can't really get too emotional about it when it's like, really, you're gonna get doing a game of pick 'em.
Okay, well, I blogged about the major misses that I thought the All-Star release had. But you haven't really said anything about that yet. So who do you think should be on here that is a real All-Star, you know, if it wasn't a joke, if they weren't playing Calvin Ball?
Where's the list? I'm sorry.
Here.
I just mostly think about the people who shouldn't be there. Thanks.
I think the most glaring errors are in the forward position. And there are some, I think there are a couple of misses in the midfield.
Yeah. I don't know. I think a lot of this has to do with the fact that the voting was earlier in the season. I think if it had been just a few weeks later, we might actually see Amy Rodriguez on the
wow. on the
forwards. I don't know. Well, she had that great game the other day. She had a goal and an assist. I didn't see it, but it's like, all right, and you know, coming from me, this is saying something.
Yeah, like, yeah, I mean, that's sort of huge. Objective. And I did think she had a decent game yesterday. I think you're right. If we waited a couple of weeks, I think you'd see Tina DiMartino in the midfield. I think people would finally recognize her. They're never going to recognize Sarah Huffman, but Tina DiMartino.
I don't know about Tina DiMartino, considering like this would have been her only good game of the season.
But they're playing DC next week.
I guess if it were,
they have a game against Jersey coming up too. So if you give them a couple more games, I think she could be on there. Like she's not national team material, I think, just because of her size, but she's definitely going to be a top club player. And that's my humble opinion.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Some of these selections, you know, they're right on. And some of them I don't understand. God bless Christine Lilly. She's a legend, but I don't... That was a name vote, which is going to happen, I guess. But, yeah, the forwards, Lauren Cheney and Ramona Bachmann, that just seems like a marketing thing to me. And... Yeah.
Yeah.
Natasha Kai isn't on there, so that's okay.
Yeah, I mean, she didn't make it, but I think it's really hard to argue with Aluko, Marta, Sinclair, and Wambach being on there. So it really only leaves two positions, or two spaces open in the forward spot.
Yeah, it's hard to say who that would go to, but I don't think it would go to those two, Bachmann and Cheney, like...
Yeah.
I would pick Rodriguez over at least Bachmann.
Yeah.
Because Atlanta hasn't scored, and you know, scoring's not everything for every position, but I think it's kind of important for a forward.
I definitely voted for Kelly O'Hara because rookies go, I mean, Ramona Bachmann and Lauren Cheney are both rookies. About the same age as Kelly O'Hara, and she's been, I mean, she can hold her own with Marta and Sinclair, so, yeah.
Yeah, and heck, Tiffany Melbred, why not put the fourth forward on there? I'm not going to think about it too much, it's kind of dumb, so, I guess it's going to be televised, which is...
Also kind of dumb.
That's fine. What day is that?
June 30th.
Okay, I just saw, I'm sorry, we're going to take a very quick segue to tell you about the Portland Timbers new logo.
Oh, yes, show me.
It's awful. Oh my god. Like, especially considering their old logo was so cool. It was like retro, and it looked like, it just, I don't know. It just looked like,
dude,
you know,
the site is down.
It's down?
Pitch Invasion? I mean, oh. It says site temporarily unavailable.
Oh, darn.
Hold up. It's barely loaded. Stop it. Okay, got it now.
Yeah, you see that? You remember what the old one looked like?
It's got the old one on there.
Okay. No. Okay.
Or is that not the old one you mean? It's got the old one first.
Yeah, it's got the old one and then the new one.
Should I watch the logo unveiling? Do people boo?
Well, look at what they're doing. Like, these are passionate people who give a crap about their team, like every single part of their team. And then to do that to them, that's awful. I'm going to have to make a post about this because that is atrocious. That's like, I want to compare it to Portland's logo change, but I mean, I can understand Portland's logo change. They had to do that because of copyright reasons. They couldn't make any products with the little wheel on it.
Why not?
Because there was just too many people using the boat wheel, like all over the country. And it just wasn't a copyrightable image or a trademarkable logo. They would have had to fight a lot for that, and I don't think they really wanted to. The little P eventually grew on me, even though it kind of made me think of tennis balls.
Yeah, but it looks like Prince.
It's like, this new Timbers logo is awful.
What did you think of the new Vancouver one? Because I liked that. I liked the change for them.
If I can find it. Because I think I liked it. I mean, it didn't... Yeah, I actually like that. I like that a lot.
And I like that it looks... I mean, now they don't have the same logo pretty much as the Boston Breakers.
Yeah. I like the Vancouver logo change. It looks very... it's minimalist. I'm a minimalist at heart. So...
And their new kit looks good too.
It does. It does look good.
Did Portland get a new kit?
They must be getting. They don't really have one right now because they're not, you know. But good God, that was a fuster clock because this is almost like what Houston Dynamo was called before. It was just like the Houston. I don't know if you remember when Houston got their MLS team.
I remember when they went with the gear and...
When they were called the Houston 1836, and then that was, like, kind of offensive to maybe the Mexican population, or sorry, the Mexican-American population of,
Texas.
Texas. They were like, whoops. My bad. I wonder if they... I like the Portland Timbers logo. Like, the old logo. Sorry. I don't know what was wrong. Okay, let's drop it. Let's drop it. This is not a logo podcast. Let's talk a little bit about the suspensions.
Suspensions.
Caroline Seager got a suspension for her, you know, we talked about her roughing up of Sarah Huffman. And originally it was 2 games in addition to that. I guess not in addition, but she got a red card and then it was a 2-game suspension, which part of me thinks was a little harsh. And then, like, okay, since I think from last year there was some controversies about the reffing and how things weren't being called properly, and it seems like the league is sort of overcompensating for less than diligent refereeing by handing down pretty tough suspensions. But this is the first one for this season, right?
Red card?
No. The first like, you know, multi-game suspensions, or the first really like controversial one.
Yeah,
I would say. But anyway, the suspension was appealed by Philadelphia, and it got reduced to one, which was fine. I think that was the right way to go. That if you were gonna, listen to, what they had to say about that suspension, because it was a bad foul, but it wasn't so much that it was like two games.
She didn't break anything.
She survived. And she's gonna do. She has a fine and then community service that they do, which I think is okay. That wasn't really advertised. We had to look on their suspension page to find that out, right?
Yeah. Whereas, when there were added punishments last year, and that was always talked up a whole lot. And it's interesting to note that. That these added punishments from the commissioner, I guess. Yeah, they're from the commissioner. They keep coming in games that Washington is involved in.
Washington just breeds trouble. Natalie Spilger. She got a red card against Washington before. I think Chicago had,
had the first red card last season, didn't they? Yeah. In a Chicago game or a DC game at DC.
I saw it.
it was the captain too.
Our lovely Swede Frida Östberg got red carded. I didn't remember seeing the foul exactly. I'm sure it was deserved. red cards.
Shattered bones,
ruined careers. They all happen with DC.
And DC's not even like the easiest team in the league to dislike. I do dislike DC, but that's for other reasons, not just to be hating. I can do that elsewhere. But they do seem to have issues.
They don't seem like a team that would be naturally rough, but somehow it just gets there, and it gets there quickly, like so much more quickly than you would think. Because they have these players who just play so beautifully, and then all of a sudden, fists are flying, kneecaps are being shattered.
Tibias amphibious.
Awful things.
So we're waiting to hear whether Spilger gets a suspension.
Oh yeah, that's right. We are waiting to see. I mean, what really happened? Was it even in the write up? Because I didn't see, like, all I saw were like the official, statements of that. Which, okay, so did you see Rapinoe's yellow card? What happened there?
Did I? I don't remember.
It's probably for her hair.
Yeah.
Listen, your hair's ridiculous. Yellow card.
Your dancing's ridiculous. Yellow card. Yeah.
No.
I missed a lot of the second half of that game, so I might have seen Rapinoe's yellow card, but I didn't see Spilger's first one. And I came back just in time for the second one, but since the play was away from the ball. I definitely didn't see anything.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like anybody saw it except for maybe the assistant referee. So we have to go by their word.
And it was like, it was right in front of Chicago's bench or something, which, at least it wasn't in front of DC's bench.
You mentioned, or I remember you saying a little bit earlier about how the U20s had some warm-up games and they lost spectacularly.
Oh, yes, they did. They lost to They lost to Japan and Germany. And I'm pretty sure the games were played over in Germany because I had to translate both of the articles that I was looking at from German to English. Let me pull this up quickly. The first game was against Japan, and it was a 2-1 loss. And off the top of my head, I can't remember who scored the one for the U.S., but I'm going to guess it was Sidney Leroux. And the June 13th game was against Germany. It was a 3-1 loss, and I definitely know that Sidney scored the one for the U.S. And I think all those goals in the Germany game were pretty. I think they were early on. I think they were all in the first half. So it's not like the U.S. team didn't have time to bounce back. Or get any closer than they did. And that's just, I don't know. It's so disappointing. And if I had stuck around the game yesterday, I would have asked the DeMartinos what they thought of that. Cause their younger sister, Vicky DeMartino, who plays at Boston College, is one of the forwards for that U20 team. And, I've voiced my doubts about the roster that Ellis is taking over to Germany, because playing in Germany is going to be really hard for the U.S. team, and taking as weak a squad as they have over to Germany is just asking for trouble. I think we're going to see, you know, a 2006 like performance or worse.
Yeah. I don't know. Part of me wants to say it's going to be even worse, but it's hard to imagine that. It's hard to imagine there are, you know, maybe five better teams in the U20 level. But, you know, heck, if we can lose to Japan.
Yeah. And I can't, I've got the group listed somewhere here on hand. I know I do.
And, you know, I never question Jill Ellis's ability to just kind of implode on
but
a big stage.
Usually she waits until the final four.
She waits a little while. She does.
And I guess we are pretty lucky. Our group is Ghana, Switzerland, and Korea Republic. But since, I don't know, since they've already done spectacularly poorly in the warm-ups, I'm starting to question whether the U.S. will even come out on top of the group. They'll come out of the group, but I don't know if they'll come out on top. And that's just disappointing for a U.S. U20 team.
We don't have anything new on Kerry Hanks, and I couldn't pick a Twitter award winner. These players are going to have to step up. We could give it to Tiffany Weimer again, but I've decided that giving it to players twice in a season is against the law. It's against the rules.
Otherwise, Tiff would win every podcast.
She would win a lot. But come on, players. Step it up. Give us something to talk about. You know, it's been a long time since we've had a winner. It's been a long time since anybody really deserved it. So
I think if Natalie Spilger had said the stuff that she said in her blog on Twitter, we could have given it to her.
Definitely.
But she didn't, so. Yeah. So that's not happening.
Yeah. You can find us, we're Cross Conference on Twitter, that's all one word. And we tried to live tweet some games. We've been doing some Men's World Cup stuff, but nothing annoying to tell you that, like, oh, somebody got a foul. You know, I could. There's millions of other Twitter accounts you can find that. We're giving you the quality,
as always.
Yeah. So, thank you for listening. Bye bye. Tell me lies, yeah. So tonight, I'm gonna find a way.
with a broken heart. We could try sleeping in my bed.